Good morning, Misfits. You are tuning in to episode 44 of the Misfit Project. I am your host, Drew Crandall, and today we are joined by the full Goon Squad and one of my favorite human beings of all time, Mr. Cody Mooney. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Proper Fuel, your complete post-workout nutrition solution, a one-to-one protein to carb ratio, and then a bunch of added ingredients that make sure that the protein and carbohydrates do what they're supposed to do for you post-workout. And if you struggle with digesting whey, don't worry about it. We have added digestive enzymes for you, and we have a full 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you try it out and it's not jiving with your stomach, you will get your money back. Head to properfuel.co and check us out on Instagram at properfuel. We are also brought to you by Pure Spectrum. Head to purespectrumcbd.com and use the code word misfit. We've said it once, we've said it twice, we've said it three times. I'll say it a fourth and continue to say it during this period of time, with the stress and anxiety of being inside, you know, with the, you know, maybe not moving around quite as much and having some restless nights of sleep. You're getting a really good opportunity to see if CBD can work for you. And we trust Pure Spectrum CBD. So purespectrumcbd.com, use the code word misfit. Last but not least, we are brought to you by Sharpen the Axe. If you are listening to the podcast on the day that it drops, that is today, April 2nd. Tonight at midnight, we are having our largest sale ever, our spring cleaning sale. We do one sale every 4 months. Everything in the store is 20 to 80% off. Athlete codes are still working. So if you want to support a small business and you want to support the athlete codes, you know, while they're sort of dealing with this uncertainty, head to sharpentheaxeco.com and do not use the code word unprepared. Use the code word your favorite athlete's first name. Get them a little money during this time. And obviously, as always, misfitathletics.com and teammisfit.com for any programming needs. We are all in on providing free solutions for at-home workouts during this time. So you can head to either one of those websites and get it done. Without further ado, here's Cody Mooney and the Goon Squad. All right.
That's a good microphone.
Sorry. Settle down, ladies.
Help! I need to get out of here.
Cody Mooney, welcome to the Misfit Project. How you doing,
good.
Bud?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Terrific.
Staying inside.
That was a nice little turnaround right there. Things were a little weird about 10 seconds ago. So what have you been doing, man? You're back home in Maine finally.
Yeah. So I got back to Maine about, I think like 15 days ago now. So I'm clear. So everyone knows the virus.
We were all wondering, but I'm glad we're outside of that now.
I think everyone was. Yeah, I know, but I came from, I was in New York where I, you know, my apartment was, and then I was in LA and then I flew back to Maine. Now I'm, we're up in Acton where I grew up. So it's been nice. It's been different. It's super quiet up here. But I have everything I need. So it's been nice just to kind of spend time with family.
So the kind of topic of the podcast today is motivation. We, I think, are dealing more with a motivation problem. A lot of people kind of relying on external motivation, not noticing it. And then now they're stuck in their house and they're wondering what's the point of, you know, eating good food and exercising and working hard and working on yourself. And not to say that it's not a challenge, but when someone has a, you know, a real reason to be doing those things in general, it will reflect that way even in this scenario, maybe even more in this scenario because people have more free time. And I think you have, you know, especially in the space of CrossFit Games athletes, you have a pretty unique perspective when it comes to kind of the whole ecosystem of not just, I'm not just talking about, you know, within the confines of making it to the CrossFit Games, but just life in general.
Yeah. I think like times like this, definitely, I think for a lot of athletes, I think that you could be any athlete right now and you kind of sit back and you wonder like, well, what else did I have going on or what else do I have going on? Because it's super easy when, you know, the world stops to realize that if you're not, you don't have access to the gym or you can't do whatever your normal day is, kind of makes you think. So So, and I think motivation right now is a thing I struggle with daily, being home when it comes to work or going out in the garage and working out. I mean, it's never, I think it makes things that are already hard enough even harder. We can dig into it a little bit more, but I don't want to be the only one to talk about it because I think that we're all kind of going through the same thing. But I definitely have tried to work different ways to keep me motivated and the things that matter to me in life for sure.
Hunter, you looked like you were going to speak there. You had your I'm next face on, and then you just stared dead into your screen.
Oh, it's the lag. It's the lag.
I just started.
It's the lag in your brain.
No, I was just trolling on Cody. I was just trying to confuse him.
It worked. You've confused our listeners now.
Cody, what's your gym setup like? Do you have access to stuff, or are you kind of doing like mostly body weight stuff? What's your like daily kind of setup look like?
So when this all went down, when I originally first came back to Maine, I got an Airbnb up in Portland. So a lot of my stuff was like body weight and kind of like in the apartment style workouts. But now, where I'm back home, I train for the games out here in the summer. And so I have quite a bit of equipment. So I got assault bikes, assault runner, concept 2 bike, all weights, barbells, pull-up rig. So it's like a normal gym setup right now, which is I'm very thankful for. So I got pretty much everything that I need, which is good. Keeps me sane. So I'm pretty fortunate that way.
What do you tell somebody who maybe doesn't have that sort of setup? Because most people probably don't. I probably guess that some people have like the odd dumbbell, kettlebell. Maybe someone's got a barbell or some sort of maybe a rig. Probably not all of those that stuff, but just a combination. What's your kind of going to the topic of the episode of motivation? Like, how do you convince somebody or convince yourself, probably more importantly, that like it's okay to maybe do the same movement? Yeah. Like no shit. You did burpees like 4 days in a row. Like that's just how it's got to be. How do you kind of parse that, like separate those two things out?
I mean, I think about that. I actually thought about that quite a bit when I first moved, came back up here. Cause if I was stuck in my New York City apartment, I'd be pretty much in a box for a room with no equipment whatsoever. So I just tried to think of ways, but I think with motivation wise, I mean, for me, like this time has been really interesting because it makes me, I think I took a lot of things for granted. I think a lot of us do on a daily basis, human interaction, the ability to go to a gym and stuff like that. When it's taken away, you learn to appreciate things a little bit more. From the motivation that I had, it's realizing that, you know, we work so hard on a daily basis when life is kind of, as you can say, normal and things like this aren't going on. So for me, that aspect, it's never going to stop. I mean, you're going to have to, I mean, just like cross, everything is scalable and everything can be changed and everything can, you know, we the RX scale, but we make things work for people. It's kind of been CrossFit's thing. You can do it anywhere. I mean, CrossFit started with very little equipment and, you know, bodyweight movements. It's getting creative and it's finding people that are going to help you be creative, but it's also knowing the fact that, and there's a lot you can do with just your body and being okay with this is what I have and this is what I need to do and just prioritizing it. For me, it's been the biggest thing. I set schedules throughout the day. What was that?
I'll say, to me, it just goes back to the fact that you have a really clear, defined, like, why you do this stuff, where some people might be more concerned with what they're doing. Like, do I have an assault runner? Do I have a rower? Do I have a pull-up bar? And the day that gets lost in the noise of, like, why you're actually doing it versus just doing it to do it. Like, you enjoy doing CrossFit, one, because it's a competitive outlet for you, but you like the fact that you enjoy moving your body, which for a lot of people, like while it's important to try to compete in the sport of fitness for a lot of people who watch our stuff and who follow our blog, at the end of the day, like, you sincerely get joy from just moving around and seeing what your body is capable of. So your why is clearly defined. And I think that's where a lot of people are kind of stuck right now, is they're thinking more about what they can and can't do versus why they're even doing it in the first place. And I think that's the right context for thinking about training right now when you're stuck at home with limited equipment, is to remind yourself why you're doing it. Is it for personal growth? Is it to compete at the CrossFit Games? Is it, I want to look good at the beach this summer? Like, what is your why? And if your why is clearly defined, then you're going to be able to find a way to get creative and stay moving. Because, you know, similar to the way we explain to our athletes and affiliates, that when you scale something, it's not like you're not getting a good workout. You're just doing it for your own means or the way you can do it. It's no different when you're stuck at home with minimal equipment. You have to remember why you're doing it, and then using that why to figure out, all right, it's cool that I'm doing, you know, lunges again for the third day in a row.
That just gave me a good idea for a blog post, Sherb. Thanks.
You're welcome.
It's funny, this idea that we're kind of on right now. We talked with Kenzie a little bit about it. The Misfit Musing that's, you know, going to go out today or tomorrow is about this topic. And for me, in scenarios like this, I always go back to the book Man's Search for Meaning, and the like sort of quick synopsis on the book, or how it relates directly to this situation, is he was the guy who wrote it, Viktor Frankl, was in concentration camp and sort of found that because he had his why, he had his family, he wanted to see his family again, he wanted to live, that he could deal with anything at all, like stuff that the most unimaginable shit that anyone could ever think of. Like, you think about, like, maybe you're in a hotel, like I'm thinking of the context of us, we're traveling, we're in a hotel, maybe the air conditioning doesn't work, or someone's snoring, or there's some minor first world problem, inconvenience. And he found that he could sleep, you know, freezing cold in these bunk beds, you know, with like other like bodies like piled on top of each other, that sort of situation. And it gives context and perspective, but it also, like, he ends up becoming someone that invents a kind of psychotherapy where, instead of looking for the meaning of life in general, you're looking for the meaning in your life. And when you can find those things, then you can sort of check off any of these boxes that we're trying to do. And that's why I think this is also important. A lot of the messages that I'm getting from people are like, I don't know that I want to do this. Like, how are you, like, I don't know, should I be following this program? Should I be doing that? And I don't think that the conversation right now needs to be centered around that. I think it needs to be centered around, like, this is the biggest plug for tribes that's ever existed. Like, if you didn't think that, you know, we've talked before how loneliness health-wise equates to smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. Like, we're talking about, like, the biggest plug ever for being around other people.
It's the N equals 8 billion okay? experiment.
Yeah, seriously. Right. So, like, if people hadn't bought into that idea already, this concept of we evolved in groups, we rely on each other, we need each other, it's extremely important. Now is the time. And I know that was kind of a rant that went all over the place, but I think this is a really important topic to try to help motivate other people. But also, just, you know, I mean, Cody's sort of one of the more self-motivated people that I know. Like, give him nothing to do for a day or two and he's going to, like, he's going to find something to do. He's going to, you know, he's going to be active. He's going to try to be social. It's just sort of where he's at. But he also just said that he's struggling with the situation. So it's both relatable, but also, like, how do we convince other people? And I think that this topic and people listening and people doing the same thing for other people is a start anyways.
Yeah. I think it's important you talk about the topic, because I think that brings, you know, what you're actually passionate about to light. You know, a lot of times these conversations you have in your head are personal and you don't share them with anything else. And we often talk to athletes about putting their, like, goals out into the world, or their reason why out into the world. And that's because it helps to have these conversations with other people. And honestly, when I find myself low motivation, I don't hesitate to text Cody and say, hey man, what have you done recently for a workout that was terrible? And he'll just fire back with like three or four things that he's done. And, you know, he'll tell me what his time was or what he did during it. And I was like, all right, well, I can't keep up with that time, but at least I can fucking do it. So it's just good to like rely on others in this situation, because oftentimes you feel like you're trapped within your own head and there's no one out there experiencing the same things that you are. And every once in a while, when your motivation's low, it never hurts to reach out to a friend or a buddy and just see if they can help you, you know, it, you know, not essentially motivate you solely, but give you something to work towards. And I find it really valuable to have those conversations with people when I'm feeling a little bit low at motivation or I feel like I'm stuck in a rut.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I completely agree. I think that this time for a lot of people, they need that. I mean, I have a buddy, Bo, that texts me. I'm working every morning at 8 o'clock. I can like expect a text from Bo. And it's something ridiculous that he's about to do, but that's just him wanting that like text from me back to either say, try to get this, good luck with that, that's going to really suck, have fun, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like, that's his motivation that he needs. And then he goes and does it and he gets to complain to me about how awful it was and how I need to try it and blah, blah, blah after. But it's him relying on others to find that motivation. I mean, like Drew said, I mean, this is not an easy time for anyone. I have everything that I need in my garage for me to be a fully functioning CrossFit athlete, and it's not easy for me to go out there. But my purpose in life is bigger than just a CrossFit Games. Personally, I mean, it does bother me what's going on with like the sanctionals, and I don't know, 10 of them now have been canceled, and not knowing what if the CrossFit Games will be this year. You know, like, they'll be in the future. But for me, what matters is that, like, I do this for my future, not for my CrossFit Games future. So if there's a CrossFit Games or not, I work out to be productive. I work out for my longevity. I work out for my family. I work out for the people that are around me that I can inspire. Like, I have so many other back meanings to the CrossFit Games. Is a very small piece of why I do fitness, but it's a piece that I love, but it's also not my everyday why. And I think the time that we're in right now has really made me realize and made me kind of step back and think of, you know, why I really do this stuff. And when I start to think of that, then it's easy for me to get back in the gym, and or it's easy for me to, you know, get up off the seat real quick when I've been working for 2 hours and drop down and even do a couple of V-ups, do a couple of, you know, push-ups, stretch a little bit, like keep moving forward, because I'm moving forward for my future, not just for my competitive future. It's my life. This is what I do. When I work out in a day, it trickles down to everything else in my life. I'm more productive in my work. I have better relationship skills with my friends. I communicate easier. I don't get as aggravated. I eat healthier. It's a full trickle down effect for me. And I think that's with a lot of people. And it's really easy to get out of that rut and to be like, well, I don't have shit going on. I don't have this. I don't, you know, but like everyone right now has time to do something. It's finding the will and finding the why, like Sherv and everyone was talking about, of, you know, this is not just for, you know, like, I don't do this just for myself. I do this for, you know, everyone. And right now it is challenging to do that, but we have to be able to find it.
I think it's important, based on what you just said, for Hunter to kind of jump in. There's a speech that I've heard him give a few times at the gym about why going to the gym and doing these things isn't selfish. And I think it's an extremely important topic.
Yeah. to give a little bit of context, I've had two grandparents who've both now passed away from some form of cognitive dysfunction, Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, something like that. And obviously that means it runs in my family. It's certainly like, I think I'm doing the right things now to either prevent it from ever happening or push it off as long as possible. But for me, it's like what I tell members of the gym is thank you, you know, kind of thank you for coming here. And what you're doing is not selfish. So I think a lot of people tend to see, maybe it's like, I need to take an hour out of my day before or after work that I'm not going to spend with my family or my kid. You know, I need to rely on my partner to take my kid to school on like these days, or, hey, I'm going to be home a little bit late. Can you make dinner? Or just, you know, you're essentially losing a little bit of time each day that you might be able to spend with your family. And I say, but you're doing it for them. The things that you do for them are enabling you to be like a better version of yourself, both physically, mentally, emotionally, kind of all that stuff that you were talking about, Cody. And it's not selfish to take care of yourself in that sense, because for me, it's like I'm trying to push my mom to get involved in working out, and we've made like a lot of great progress. She was walking for a while, and now I've convinced her, like, okay, walk for 10 minutes and then do a couple of squats and a couple of deadlifts with a light plate. And it's trying to communicate that, like, hey, you it's not selfish to take care of your own body, because you are also preventing the need for somebody else to do it for you. Because at the end of the day, like, the way that I saw that is my mom happened to be the person who took care of both of those grandparents. My dad's mom and her mom were in the same fucking nursing home. And I spent a solid 10 years going there like once a weekend, visiting these two people. I had no fucking idea who I was. Whenever I couldn't do it because I was in college or whatever, my mom is the one who's going there. So she's in there visiting, and it's like, holy fuck. Like, I can't even imagine how mentally draining that is on her like time, energy, resources, just emotionally, psychologically, just watching these two people who are closest to her do that. And it's like, we have the closest thing to a cure possible in being able to take care of ourselves physically through exercise and nutrition and stuff. Like, why wouldn't you do that? So if you're thinking like it's selfish for yourself, think instead about the fact that when you go into the gym and when you're eating healthy, you are preventing your kid from having to put you in a nursing home. Like, being like selfish would be treating your body like shit and just accepting the fact that when you're 70 years old, your kid's going to have to put you in a nursing home. Like, that's fucked up. To me, that is more selfish than going to the gym for an hour, creating those relationships, building that physical buffer that CrossFit, you know, has talked about forever. So that's kind of where I like to remind athletes of that, like, taking care of yourself is not a selfish act.
I try to do the same thing with the folks in Wyndham, because the group that we have over at the Wyndham affiliate are a little bit older. They're moms and dads, and they're, you know, concerned. And every once in a while, they'll reach out and say, hey, I got to put my membership on hold because so-and-so's got soccer and I can't make it happen. And I can't do both soccer practice and the gym. And I said that your kids will gladly trade 3 hours a week for you be able to walk them down the aisle or go to their wedding or, you know, go to the graduations, like
toss the grandkids around. Like,
exactly. They'll gladly trade 3 to 5 hours a week to be able to have you in their life as they're raising their kids and doing, you know, fun things later in life.
And your motivation in this space, Sherb, has shifted a lot. Like, right around the time when you decided to stop trying to be, you know, kind of more competitive was the time that you got your parents involved,
yep,
with the gym. And I've seen you sort of, I think a lot of athletes that teeter on that line of, am I competitor? Am I not? Like, it's such a stressful mindset to be able to figure it out that you might not even want to work out because it's associated with that stress. And you had a pretty seamless transition. I mean, and from the outside looking in, it sort of felt like a lot of it was based on, you know, providing an example for not just your parents, but, you know, that whole group that you were just talking about.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm glad it looks seamless. It didn't feel seamless. There was a while where training felt really erratic, irregular, and like, what am I actually working for? So motivation, I'll be, you know, blunt, did falter. It went some days, yeah, I'll jump in with Austin and Caroline.
You were still out there.
Yeah. I'll jump in and I'll do a piece and then, you know, get discouraged. Maybe I didn't keep up, and then remind myself that, like, hey, I'm doing this for health, and I'm doing this because I genuinely care about moving my body and I see how valuable it is to move every single day. And while I might not be working towards this grand goal of competing on a regionals team or trying to compete at the local competition, I can set an example for others to show that, like, while it's it's not the same thing as competing in CrossFit as it is just doing CrossFit for your health. The impetus is still there where I'm just doing this for me. And if I can show someone that, hey, you don't need to work out 3 hours a day, 7 days a week to get all the benefits you can from CrossFit and being okay with jumping into affiliate class and, or maybe even not even doing a full affiliate class, but just going out there and doing the Metcon with class or lifting with people and showing it, it's really about being social and having a good time and just moving your body more so than being so results driven on like, am I hitting my old PRs or can I still row a sub 7 2K? Like, yeah, those things are great, but those don't mean that you're good or bad at CrossFit or that you're a winner and loser in life. It just means that those were your focuses at one time. And now the focus is more on just health and wellness and showing people that you can stay really, really healthy with, you know, 4 or 5 days a week of 1 hour. Like, and I think that's what I've been trying to instill in all the members is that what really matters with this type of training that we do is that you continue to do it. It doesn't matter what the movements are. It doesn't matter how much you do each day. The idea is that you stay consistent over the long span of time. I really like the thought of going at a low trajectory to a distant horizon, because that's what we're after here. We're after just a sustained level of health and wellness through using CrossFit as the training modality so that we aren't, like Hunter said, selfishly making others take care of us as we get older and start to age.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, like, it almost feels backwards. And the way that I've explained it to myself anyways, I always like to use metaphors. I'm not really sure why, but like the concept of medicine where like you're a kid and you're like running around the house being chased by your mom with the little cup of something that tastes disgusting that the doctor said that you had to have. And just the idea of, I still believe that any of that's bullshit, by the way, but I'm using it as the metaphor. The idea that it's kind of, well, that too. But this idea that like you don't want it and it doesn't taste all that good, but then it's supposed to make you feel better afterwards. I actually need to check off these boxes to then become motivated. I generally want to be more motivated. And the only way that I have found to put myself in that mindset and the reason why I've been so passionate about these topics for so long is because when I'm around other people, when I sleep well, when I have a mindfulness practice, when I go for walks, when I eat food that I'm supposed to do, all that stuff, I then become motivated. I become motivated in my jobs and my relationships and all this stuff. So for me, it's very much like, and then also that sort of split off into the suffer and smile thing. Like I'm really trying to accept the mindset of like, I took 16 minutes off of my ruck time the other day because I forced myself that every time it got hard, I went faster and just smiled about it. Like I could stop. I'm choosing to do this. I could stop at any time. Like this isn't being forced upon me. I'm not like in a, you know, slave labor camp or something. I put the backpack on myself and walked out the door and it's nice outside and I got my headphones and my Apple Watch and, you know, all these, you know, things that, you know, people who really can complain about stuff like wouldn't have. And I find that developing these mindsets and doing these things can put you in a place where you can kind of stay motivated. And thinking about like where Cody kind of took the conversation, I see you come to a fork in the road. Like there is sort of that question of, do I want what I currently want? But the first thing that you have to do, like listening to the three of you just give, you know, sort of your personal stories is like, what are those really meaningful things in your life? Like define that list first. Then you can figure out what you want to do and you will be motivated to execute. But like you guys just talked about the kind of thing that like could really push you through some hard times. And like, I think people need to go a little bit deeper and try to figure out like, what are the things that keep me going? What are the things that keep me motivated? And I think there are a lot of people that maybe haven't asked those questions yet. And that could be something that's, you know, really helpful in holding you back currently.
I think it took a little bit of time for me to come to grasp with the fact that I was never going to be a CrossFit Games athlete and like the regionals thing was going to be my games. But, you know, as the writing was kind of on the wall there, I saw the opportunity to be like, well, that doesn't mean I can't be one of the best affiliate coaches that ever walked the earth, or I can't be a role model for the communities at both Portland and Wyndham. And while I maybe not be able to showcase myself as this stellar athlete, I can at least show people what it takes to be, you know, a good coach or a good leader or just someone who can help other people. Because, you know, you hear a lot of CrossFit Games athletes talk about part of their life is being a little bit selfish because they have to be so focused on getting themselves into that peak shape. I looked at it and I said, well, I might not be able to ever have the physical ability to do something like that. I can still help people and not be selfish by like, oh, I can't help you right now. I'm doing my like third training piece of the day. I say, hey, you want to jump in with me? Let's do this together. Let's make this a team effort. Let's get over the fact that maybe we aren't doing it at the RX weight or we aren't doing as many reps as, you know, the people that you see on Instagram. But at the end of the day, we can help push each other through a real noble cause, which is health and wellness, trying to make sure that there's essentially a reshaping of focus into something that to me feels very like admirable that I can help other people with. I really genuinely get joy out of helping someone be healthier and getting to appreciate the fact that, you know, yeah, you might not have been an athlete your entire life, or you might have been overweight your entire life, or had no confidence your entire life, but we can build those things at this gym. And I'm honored to be a part of that like person's journey.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I completely agree with that. And you know, like you just said, sure, you might not be a CrossFit Games athlete, but I mean, what's one of the things you just found out recently? I mean, you're going to be a dad, and you're going to be a dad that's going to be able to, when this kid's 10, be like, yo, let's go run a couple miles. You know what I mean? You're going to be something like that. But I think
I'm going to make him run before he's 10, but keep going.
Flipping three blues before he's 10.
Yeah, right. Come on. Here's your gene. Let's be real. I think that for like people like us that, you know, are in the health and wellness and people that believe health is wealth, we almost have an obligation to others to be in a place to be the kind of light that people need right now. Like for me, I'm staying at where I grew up, and you know, I have two people in the house with me right now, and one being my mom. And I know there are days that I don't want to work out. I don't want to go up there, but I also know that if I don't, she's not gonna. So I have an obligation. My mom is one of the most important things in my life to me, and I want her to be healthy. I mean, I think that right now with a lot of people right now, a lot of people are seeing that health is a huge thing that a lot of people, you know, put on the back burner until something like this kind of comes up. So by me knowing that if I don't work out, my mom might not work out, that automatically motivates me to be like, all right, mom, we're going. At 1 o'clock today, we're going to go up there. And just by the couple times a week us going up there, she's feeling better. She's asking me questions. She's asking me when we wake up, hey, we're going to work out today. It's stuff like that that matters to me. And that's another reason, one of my whys. Like, I want my mom to be there. I want my mom to see her grandkids. I want my kids to experience my mom. She's a wonderful person. So I put that, you know, before my pity of, oh, maybe I don't have as much equipment today, or maybe I don't feel like I want to do this. But what I do not only affects me, it affects other people around me. And I've taken on that responsibility because I feel like we owe it to others by, you know, kind of knowing the stuff that we do and doing the stuff that we do. So that's a huge thing for me. And I think for a lot of people, that could be it right now, of like really tapping into, you know, some people rely on you. I know for a lot of you guys, I mean, that's what Mr. Athletics, that's what you guys do. There's a lot of people that are kind of like, hey, you know, like we're looking at you to help us get something in our apartment where we might not have any equipment, you know, so.
Yeah, the phrase that comes to mind, I think that gets thrown around a lot in the business world anyways, is the, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And the whole idea of making it drink, like I visualize like someone trying to stuff a horse's head into the water, and like he's probably not going to want to drink if he's getting drowned. Like that's the transition that you make when you're a young adult male in the United States. You're a big dumb animal in your early 20s, and you make that transition to, oh, taking my ideas and ramming them down people's throats is probably not the best way to convince them to help. And sort of knowing that leading by example and while remaining relatable, like those are two super important concepts. And I think both of those things, I'm looking right now at you know, a group of people that does that on a regular basis. Like, hey, you know what? Like I don't need you to, like, Hunter, you probably don't go to your mom daily and say, why aren't you in the gym? Why aren't you in the gym? Why aren't you in the gym? You probably go walk with her, or you probably give her a new idea once you feel like the other one has, like, starts to feel a little bit comfortable.
Yeah. I mean,
like you would want someone to do with you.
Right. Well, I mean, full disclosure, that's not how I, you know, mid 20 Hunter was like, mom, like, get in the gym. And she's just like, I just want to go walk on the treadmill. And at the time I was like, ma, that's not going to do anything. Which was the worst possible messaging, you know, there was, cause it was like either come do, basically, like, I was in her mind, it was probably like either come to the CrossFit gym and do CrossFit, this thing that is kind of scary to me, it's kind of intimidating, I don't want to do it, or like don't do anything at all. And I really like had to change that kind of approach and mindset. And it was just like, you know, now it started with, she's just like, I joined a gym. Like, it's just a local commercial gym that's like 2 minutes from her house. And it's just like, that's awesome, mom. What do you do? She's just like, oh, I just walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes. And then I did the elliptical for 5 minutes, and it was, and that's pretty tough. And I was like, oh, that's like awesome, mom. Maybe, you know, next time you can walk on the treadmill for 30 and then do the elliptical for 6 minutes or something like that. And it slowly became, she was like, because it was on her own and there was like encouragement from me, it was, hey, I want to start to incorporate some of the dumbbell things that you showed me in the basement like a while ago. So it was like just dumbbell pressing, deadlifts, and just super basic stuff. And I was like, oh, absolutely. So we went to the gym, and it was just like, that's where the little workout, I was like, so mom, what you can do is you can do it before, you can do it after, or you could, if you get bored on the treadmill, you know, walk for 15 minutes and then come over and do, you know, 5 squats, 10 presses, 15 deadlifts, or whatever it was. And she was like, oh, okay, I can do that. And it was just making that barrier to entry so low. And probably more importantly, making it seem and feel like she's the one who like is driving that. Because if it's somebody else who's driving it, it's just way, I feel like it's way less likely to be successful. So instead, it's just like encouraging, it's say like, it's okay, mom, it's okay that you missed the workout. If you know, maybe you have time tomorrow and you can do it then, or something like that. Just providing that encouragement. And again, like making it feel, and it is accurate that she's the one who's driving those changes. And it makes me excited for her that she's taking it seriously. And that, you know, that positive feedback loop keeps her going. And now she's doing like, she's got dumbbell hang snatches. She was like, I'm bored with the squats, pressing, and deadlifts. Like, I want something different. So now she's hang snatching a 10-pound dumbbell, which is awesome. So it definitely never started like that, but it is definitely accurate that you can't shove the horse's mouth into the lake and expect an adherence, or at least a positive result in the long term.
Yeah, everyone loves drinking water when their head's completely right. Submerged in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I had a pretty, and it's pretty, it, oh, sorry, I got you, Drew. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're good.
I'll say I had a pretty similar experience with my mom. I mean, she was the same way. Whenever I tried to get her to go to the gym early on, she would always remind me of this time when I was like 12 or 13 and told her to do like 50 meters of walking lunges, and she couldn't walk for like a week afterwards. And so when we opened up the affiliate in Wyndham, and I kept trying to go, hey mom, you should come try this out, because my dad was doing it at the time, she'd be like, nah, it's not for me. And, you know, thankfully the community there really responded about, you know, encouraging others regardless of their ability. Like, it's been a really cornerstone of that affiliate, is that like, it doesn't really matter what version of the workout you're doing, as long as you're staying active and keep showing up. For her to come to the gym and sit and observe and see that there are other women that are her age that could do this stuff, and seeing how I eventually interacted with them and how the other coaches there interacted with those athletes, to understand that, you know, it's more important that you just move. It doesn't matter how you move, as long as you're moving, really made a huge difference in her own decision eventually to be like, all right, well, I guess I could try this out. And I still remember the first workout, which was 4 rounds of like 20 single unders and 10 wall balls with a 6-pound medicine ball, and like pull the bench out into the middle of the gym. She would do 5 wall balls, put the ball down, sit on the bench, catch your breath, do five more. And then she'd go to her single unders and do like five at a time and then take a break. And she kept apologizing the entire time. Like, I'm sorry, I'm so slow. Sorry, I'm so going, not doing this all at once. And like, it's really important that it was a messages at the gym. Like, hey, it doesn't really matter that you're not keeping up with everybody else. The idea is that you're here. And as long as you act as a support system for her, like I'm sure Hunter, it was probably challenging at first when you were younger to be like, yeah, mom, you're like, you're really just feels like you're wasting your time. I have this perfect recipe to get you in great shape.
Yeah.
I was guilty of that as well. Like I would tell her like, you don't need to go for a walk at lunch. Like you need to be doing the stair climber or you need to be lifting free weights because, you know, I was young and naive, but when it came about like, hey, congratulations, thanks for showing up. And I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come do this. Things drastically changed. So you never know how your own personal experience and how you interact with others can then show other people how valuable it is to do this stuff. So, you know, sometimes I look at that and just say, hey, like when I'm working with, you know, an older person at the gym and someone else is watching that maybe be a younger or older person, you might not be able to help them directly, but they might be able to help send that message to somebody else and say, hey, I saw Coach X working with so-and-so doing this, mom, I think you can do it too. So you never know the amount of like butterfly effect that you have for helping one person, how they can help other people down the road.
I mean, we talk about lowering the barrier to entry all the time on the Misfit Project. It's kind of one of the core tenets of, you know, involve those people that you care about to become these healthier people. And right now is kind of a unique time in that most of these home workouts, the barrier to entry is almost nothing because you're dealing with body weight movements. You're dealing with, you know, squatting down and standing up or doing a push-up or doing a lunge. It's a very unique opportunity to kind of look at somebody who maybe doesn't work out all the time and be like, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to go walk to the end of the block and back. We're going to do 10 squats. We're going to hold a lunge, and then we're going to walk back to the end of the block and back. And we're just going to do that 3 or 4 times. It's a unique opportunity to really bring people in that maybe are a little bit hesitant or a little bit scared.
I would say that's one of the... Sorry, you.
We have... Sherb just waits for me to start talking. We talked about one of the first Misfit Project episodes is like walking for an hour a day outperforms the leading diabetic pharmaceuticals. So like talk about barrier to entry, right? Like you could walk 20 minutes for an hour. I think it's 60 minutes, but we're talking about reversing type 2 diabetes. Yeah, yeah. So if you were that sick and thought you could, you know, I mean, you could even do the, you know, very American version treadmill, you know, with a TV, like walk for 60 minutes. Like, obviously, the Misfit Project would love for you to grab a pal and go outside, but we'll take it one step at a time. I mean, talking about barrier to entry and coming full circle on this and how this situation has like reminded us of these, you know, kind of core ideas is great.
I think one thing, and this is kind of the topic that you made me think of, Sherb, is that if anything else, this situation where a lot of people are trying to exercise at home, trying to figure out what to do with little or no equipment, it reminds us that like when we go back to the gym, that like things like scaling or just going to the gym in general, like for somebody who's older, like CrossFit can make these workouts, you know, possible for the people who have no business trying to snatch, trying to clean or something like that yet, no business with these super complicated movements yet. But at the same time, we can make the workouts so simple, that it doesn't matter that you're scaling it. Like pretty much every single person on the planet who's doing CrossFit is doing some different variation of a workout because they're limited by their equipment, their space, the weather outside, whatever it is. And people aren't complaining. Like, nobody's complaining about not being able to do the workout as written, with prescribed weights or exactly how it is. It's like, oh, okay, I don't have a bike, or I don't have a spot that I can do running outside, so I'm going to do burpees instead. And nobody has issues modifying that.
Then you magically find a place to run real quick.
Yeah. but the idea remains. It's just like, oh, I can't do this, but I can do that. People are, you know, tend to almost kind of you know, rise above the idea of I can't do this to what can I do? And it reminds us that we can, hopefully that we can carry that mentality into the gym as well. Once everybody can get back in.
Say one of the most valuable things that I think that ever happened to me as a coach is working with people who are necessarily the prototypical gym goer type, people who are doing personal training because the group class maybe is intimidating or not appropriate for them. I'm talking about a couple of the clients that I have, one being a diabetic patient and the other one just being, you know, severely overweight and really struggling with confidence issues when it comes time to do some of the movements that we would normally see in a CrossFit gym. You know, a burpee is not flop on the ground, jump right up and get, you know, back into it. It's lay down next to a bench and use the bench to stand up with. And, you know, the amount of value in finding ways to stay moving regardless of what you're doing is the message I give him. Like, I tell them every single day that I care more about you just showing up. The hardest thing you did this entire time is show up. The hardest thing anyone's going to do right now during this situation is just start. Once you get started, things will just go. Things will flow. Be okay with making audibles or realizing that you can't do a dumbbell snatch because you have a dumbbell. Go find a rock in your yard. Or, you know, maybe you decide that you're going to squat a backpack with books in it. Like, be okay with just finding ways to pivot, but do one thing and do one thing alone. Just start. That is the hardest part, and continue to just keep starting. If you can build that behavior, you know, you're going to find a way to stay healthy and stay motivated. And that's not the easiest thing to do, but that's why you lean on friends, you lean on community, you lean on social media for, you know, all the negatives of social media. There are also some positives as well, like giving you motivation when you're feeling kind of low.
Yeah. The funny thing about this is if there's anyone listening that there's got to be a bunch of them. There's a lot of people in the functional fitness community that have people in their life that they're trying to help. And my favorite anecdote from my past is my now wife, but then girlfriend. I had her walk for a mile with a bodyweight barbell on her back. I thought that was an excellent idea for an excellent suggestion for my girlfriend to do. And it tore this, like, I don't know, like probably 2-3 inch hole in like her, I don't know, probably C6, C7, something like that. Like she had, like, everyone that did it that didn't use the safety squat bar had this giant like lump, like because there was a hole torn into their back. And it was kind of funny because her mom was super pissed at me. but the reason I'm bringing that up is because no one's insinuating that you're not passionate about trying to help someone in your life. It's how you're trying to do it. And I think the psychology behind it is, like, if you're super into CrossFit and it's your thing, if someone else doesn't want to be, then that's some sort of personal attack on what you're doing. You know, you're kind of striving for this, like, I do this, so you should do this sort of situation. And if you shift your motivation and think about why you're passionate about helping someone, I think that's when you can start to make these changes. And it's just kind of funny that we've all known each other from our early 20s, you know, into our, you know, late 20s, early 30s for some of us. Like, it's just kind of funny to see that transformation. And the basis for the Misfit Project was, like, it was very personal at first, and I sort of noticed the changes that were made, and then that shifted into me realizing that there might be a better way to get this information out. Like, let's just talk about it.
Say, I've had a similar experience. And one of the things that we try to do with our beginners class at the gym is to talk to people about, like, why are you here? Like, what brings you through the door? And, you know, while we think that the what is CrossFit to get you into that great shape, that great mindset, or to help you reach your goals, it really comes down to, like, why are you here? And I feel like the best coaches in the world figure out what the person who they're working with is why first, and then they can help best shape their response and help that person to the best of their ability. So for me, I really start with the conversation about getting to know somebody and say, hey, what brings you through the door? And, like, why are you here? What is your motivation for walking through our doors? And once I kind of understand their why, it's easy to then tap into that motivational element for somebody, whether that's, I want to be off my medication, or I want to be able to walk down the aisle, or I want to be there for my grandson's graduation. When you know those whys, you can really help somebody. And I'd say, as you, Drew, I thought that CrossFit was the what is the only end all and be all way to get someone in shape. But, you know,
it's your friend's time, grandma.
Fuck you say to me.
But yeah, when you got back to it and said, listen, I don't, at the end of the day, like, there are 900 different ways to get someone moving, 9 million different ways to get someone moving. Let's just talk about, like, why would you want to do this, and helping them kind of come to that why on their own is a huge way to get someone to make something like this a priority in their life.
And I think that, I mean, translate to anything in life. I mean, I think when you really understand how to relate to people and communicate with people, and you become a good coach and become a good mentor and someone that someone feels the, like, someone that when you feel comfortable with actually reaching out to someone in this time of need or anything like that, it's because you've understood how you can't force people to do anything. People need to feel in control of their life, and you can help them, but you need to learn how to help them. And I think it's like a great thing you're just talking about, Sherry. But I think that saying of you walk before you run, I think for people, a lot of people, CrossFit is running. And, you know, they might never get there, but if we're walking, you know, it's something to there. It's finding what works for people and just being an advocate of health and wellness.
Like, yeah, just because you can't do kipping handstand pushups doesn't mean you shouldn't move your body, or you shouldn't try CrossFit. Oh, I can't do muscle ups. Well, okay, it's fine.
Yeah. Some of us might never, ever be able to run. That's okay. You know what I mean? There's aspects in life where I'm never going to be able to run. If I try to do something, I got a hobby and I bought myself a piano. I am never, ever going to be like a professional piano player, but I enjoy it, and I enjoy the process, and I enjoy the challenge of it. And it's something for me to actually work towards, and, you know, just building a different set of skills that it might, you know, down the road, like, I might be able to share this with someone or communicate with someone on this. It's a process in life, but it's also, I mean, like Drew and everyone have said, it's the way you communicate it as well. So definitely, I agree with all the stuff you guys are saying.
What CrossFit is to me has, like, changed so much. Like, there's the part of the fitness community where the argument is it, you know, maybe is it safe to do 30 power snatches in a row or something like that? And
nope.
Where I would still, in the right context, argue for that, it would never be my message. The message is, A, community is everything, and B, if you want to get in good shape, you should mix up the stuff that you do. So, like there's a lot of people that say they hate CrossFit and they run, they lift weights, they do bodyweight workouts, they, you know, they do all these different things, and it's like I'm okay with you feeling unsafe or just not really, like, having, no one's ever taught you how to do certain movements. You don't want to do them in high rep because you might hurt yourself. Like, I do CrossFit 6 days a week and I don't touch a barbell. Like, so it's really about like, okay, I'm going to get ready to go do it. And even though, you know, quote unquote quarantined right now, I am going to tell people that I did it. So that helps me hold myself accountable and maybe inspire someone else to do the workout, or for them to be like, it's been 3 days since you faked how fast you were working out with Fast Forward. Like, where have you been? Like, it's that, and it's just doing different stuff, keeping it fresh. Like, that's all that this means to me anymore within the context of CrossFit for the general public. That's all it means.
I don't even care about using the term CrossFit anymore. It's way easier for me to lie to people and trick them than it is to convince them to do CrossFit. In that example, it's like, my mom's like, well, I'm not going to go to the CrossFit gym, but I'm going to walk. And then I can trick her into saying, okay, well, stop your walk after 15 minutes and then go do a couple of squats and a couple of deadlifts and then go walk again. And in my head, I'm just like, gotcha. But she, you know, she's not going to, she doesn't care. She's just like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, I'm mixing it up. I'm not bored anymore. And like, I'm moving around, and like, I don't give a shit what you call it. Like, just keep doing it. And it's become the same idea for anybody. Like, I don't care what you call your fitness program. You're telling me you're like, oh, I do yoga and slack lines, and sometimes I use kettlebells. I'm like, oh, tight. Like, okay, CrossFit. Cool. Like, sweet. Yeah, done. Got it.
Now they stop, Drew. Good work.
Sorry.
I quit.
Cool. I think that this conversation went kind of in the direction that I hoped. I wasn't able to guess you guys, all three of you, to be able to immediately jump into, you know, how you've associated the meaning of things that are important to you with this pursuit. But you guys all did it in a, we kind of took Cody's lead a little bit. And yeah, if there's anyone out there listening that's struggling with this motivation piece, we're sort of asking you to maybe go for a walk and think about like now is actually a really good time because you have plenty of time to walk, but also like you kind of understand a little bit more now, like, oh, maybe I didn't hate my friends. Like, kind of wish I could hang out with them, like that sort of thing. So, take the time to just think about what's important to you personally when you fall into those ruts and use that as the motivation. Like I don't want to repeat everything we said, but, it's an important topic right now for sure.
Yeah, my kind of final thought on it is if you decide to go for that walk and think about what's motivating to you or what, you know, kind of what your why is, realize that very much like CrossFit or like the Misfit Athletics blog, intensity is relative and your motivation is relative to what's important to you. And there's no, you know, right or wrong answer, just like there's no right or wrong workout for you to follow. It's just about identifying what's right for you and kind of taking ownership over that and figuring out how to make it work within the construct of your life.
Yeah. You kind of took mine, Hunter. The have your why versus what you're doing is kind of the idea. But if that doesn't motivate you, I mean, try to find someone else to inspire. For me, the days where I don't want to go down and do assault bike sprints in my garage because I don't feel like moving, I think about someone like my parents who would very easily just stop training if the CrossFit gym in Wyndham didn't exist. And I say, all right, well, I can at least be a role model in this regard and ask my parents like, hey, did you work out today? Because I did. And if you need a workout idea at home, like here's something you can do at home. Because to me, the ability to help others, I can't think of a better pursuit in life than helping someone else.
Yeah, I agree with all you guys. And I think that, you know, to tag off kind of what Sherb was talking about is that I think right now you need to know that it is okay. Maybe that, you know, it's not assault bike sprints in your garage, you know, and it might be a walk. It might be a walk that starts with a walk and a jog or just a run or a ruck or something, but we gotta accept the fact that we have complete control of our lives and what we do and decisions we make. And I could sit on the chair all day if I wanted to, and nothing is taking me off that chair besides myself. And like, we gotta be okay with doing that. And for that to happen, you need to think of stuff beyond you. And I think that like right now, this is what we really are all searching for. And find yourself a group. You know, I see it everywhere. There's the blog. There's, you know, plenty of stuff on social media right now. I mean, you gotta be able to work for what you've been doing for so long. There's no need to give up right now. No one's giving up. Yes, we have to stay home and be safe and let this run its course, but there's no point in giving up, because you know what's going to happen when everything's back to normal. You're going to try to go back to the gym again, and you're going to be like, damn, I wish I would have moved every day, or, you know, or I wish I would have been more productive. I wish I would have done this. Like, you need to think of that now, and that's going to help you in the long run. So, you know, I'm glad we had this talk, because it's also opened up avenues for me. I mean, I think just because we're sitting here and we're the ones doing the podcast doesn't mean we have all the answers, and people need to know that. I mean, it's a struggle that everyone has. So,
yeah. Final thoughts for me kind of are still centered around that book. I use just the ideas from it really often and have kind of looked back on situations in my life that maybe I didn't understand so well when I was younger, as young as I can remember all the way up through just 4 or 5 years ago. I was, kind of heavily involved in the construction industry through family business. And when you are an overprivileged, kid that's sent out to work construction, you kind of struggle a little bit with the like, how are these people doing this to this, like at this level where they really care about their craft and they're putting in this many hours and they're, you know, it was hard for me to understand. And then looking back at the context and thinking of, you know, the people that I personally worked for, the foreman that I worked for, the ones who were putting in just super high quality 10 to 12 hour days were the same people that talked a ton about their kids' soccer games and, you know, what their wife did for a job and how helpful she was. And it sort of reframed this idea that, yeah, it is okay if the CrossFit games themselves are something, some personal pursuit, your bank account, whatever it is motivating enough to push you. But if it's not, it's also okay to do things that you wouldn't necessarily choose to do because you care so much about other stuff in your life. And to me, that really helped me draw that parallel between like, not everyone needs to have, you know, maybe their dream job every second. They need to have a reason to execute on things like a family or friends or community or, you know, their personal health or someone else's health, whatever it is. And being able to draw those comparisons, you know, back to those times, kind of brings me back to what Cody said. We don't have all the answers, but when we can think of new ideas to put out there into the world, I think people can then develop their own perspective that relates, and we can continue to have these conversations and people can kind of understand things a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that legendary Kobe Bryant quote that you probably know so good. The one about inspiring others to be, you know, like the best they can be to inspire other people. I mean, it's a trickle down effect that everyone's trying. So, and we just got to keep doing it for sure.
Definitely. All right. Thanks for joining us, Code.
Of course.
All right, ladies and gents, that was episode 44 of the Misfit Project with Mr. Cody Mooney. Thank you to our show sponsors, properfuel.co and at properfuel on Instagram, purespectrumcbd.com. Use the code word misfit, sharpentheaxeco.com. Use the code word, the first name of your favorite misfit or sharpen the axe athlete. And as always, I am at Misfit Coach on Instagram. Slide into those DMs. Let me know what you're thinking about the episodes. We are recording more episodes more frequently right now. So let me know what kind of guests you'd like to hear, what topics you'd like us to cover, and we'll get it done. We'll see you next time.